This is the sound of Worlds Beyond Number.
We return now to our friends, the wizard, the witch, and the wild one, at the cottage of Grandmother Wren here in the village of Toma. On its outskirts, it's another beautiful and wonderful day. And I will turn to all of you and say that, you know, last we met, our story ended with guiding the billy goat Nicholas back to his pen outside of the cottage, with Ursulon in tow, and Ame and Suvi journeying alongside. This begins a chapter of our tale during the spring and summer of your first year together. And what I would love from all of you as we sort of move out of the introduction of the characters and the arrival of Suvi into Ame's room and the arrival of Ursulon into the world of humans and of mortal kind, I would love to dive back more into the character creation, which we've been doing some of. But for right now, I just want to turn it over to you guys. And this is so we can think about this as sort of our Miyazaki-esque montage through the beautiful spring months. I remind you again to or invite you again to envision Grandmother Wren's cottage as something both humble and sprawling, if that makes sense, with many sheds and pens and small shrines up on the hill. The cottage has a sort of like thatched slope roof, and then the white plaster on the walls and exposed wood, and there's lots of gardens and roses. There's the hedge of rose bushes, the small winding road by the cottage that goes away, the hill up with the shrine on top of it, and the small stream that you have to cross to go deeper into the woods. Looking sort of at your return, I'll kick it over to you by asking essentially, what do you think the days following that first full day of Ursulon look like? And we can get as granular or as broad as you want, but given that, you know, you've all sort of just joined together, because I believe Ame and Suvi, you've been together for a little while by the time Ursulon showed up.
A couple weeks.
What do you think the girls get up to trying to make a home for a little spirit that cannot sleep in a bed? And how do you guys get around that problem first and foremost?
I mean, I don't sleep in a bed already. I sleep in a little nest on the floor. And so we got to gather all the materials that are necessary for nesting for Ursulon. So you got to know what is most comfortable for you. Is it moss? I bet it's moss.
So I think that question is so interesting to Ursulon. Well, I'm like, okay, this is the moment of me going like, okay, now you have to play the child version of your character again. I think Ursulon, like, hears you ask that question, and his head is immediately filled with things that you have no concept for. And it's like, things that I like, things I enjoy.
Yes. Are comfortable.
Oh.
Comfortable.
Suvi is running back and forth, like, giving you options. Like, yeah. Which do you like more? And then trying to, like, add whimsy to them. Like, if you pick this leaf, I'm going to go outside and scream at it. Because you like when stuff is different.
Yes. Things I like. Do you have a blanket of quiet ladybugs?
Aren't all ladybugs quiet?
No.
What?
No.
Okay.
But the collection, quiet ladybugs? I will take those.
No, okay, I can find them.
Can we do that? And we put our heads together.
Oh, the moment you turn, Suvi is a blur of red looking for a jar. We will find ladybugs. we will figure out how to make them quieter. I can figure this out. I think there's some weird, like, Suvi is processing guilt and pushing a lot of her own discomfort. Like, if I can make it better for him, then I will feel better. So she's like, all right, gotta get, how many ladybugs is a blanket?
Gotta like be four? At least, like, five, at least.
Anyone who would like to, or anyone that is aiding in the ladybug blanket quest.
I'll give the help action. I think Ursula is, like, confused by the lack of, the lack of selfishness. Like, the fact that Suvi is, like, running around for him. I'm definitely following you around.
Yes.
Kind of trying to figure out what point I'm going to have to fight you for this ladybug. Because I know if you find a good one, you'll want to keep it. It's you're doing this now, but once you see the ladybug, it's so I think I'm going to give the help action, but it's for selfish reasons.
I love that. Can I roll?
Yes.
I have proficiency in nature.
Go ahead and give me a nature check.
Those are both bad rolls. What can you do with a 10?
I think with a 10, it takes you a good 20 minutes to find your first ladybug, which for little kids is an eternity.
Suvi's like sweating, crying. She's so unshape. She's an unfit child. Okay, here's one.
I have already forgotten about the quest for the ladybugs. I'm working on a pillow. I don't know exactly what Ursula would like for a pillow since he has gone to help with the ladybug quest. So I'm going to go with the spider webs, I guess.
Go ahead and give me a nature check.
Okay.
Amazing.
Ooh, I got a 17.
Hey now. You venture up.
Oh, nope. Minus one, so it's a 16.
Perfect. You begin to search around for spiderwebs. The number one place that you'll find them, Grandmother Wren is way less tall than she used to be. Old age has sort of steeped her back a little bit. She's gotten a little more crouched with age. So plenty of spiderwebs. And because her apprentice is a very little child, you can imagine that the corners of the ceilings, like off in the corners up towards the ceiling, have a lot of cobwebs in them. So especially up in some of the less used rooms on the second story, you begin to collect some of the good cobwebs. And you do see in the ceiling the little wooden slats in the frame of the drop down door for the attic.
I gotta go up there. I bet that's a treasure trove of cobwebs.
Oh no.
Amazing. How are you going to get the little.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the broom, and then I'm going to take, the little fire poker and stuff, the one that has a little hook on it, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to attach it to the broom using apron strings. I'll use the apron strings, and then that all is this contraption will help me reach high up.
Go ahead and give me a sleight of hands. Call this a DC. Call it DC 10.
Somewhere
safe. 18.
So okay, you get the apron strings. You tie a really good knot. You're a crafty little kid.
Yes.
You get a really good knot on there. amazing. Go ahead and give me acrobatics to get the, use your new implement.
Oh, it's a three.
There it is.
Yeah. Ame, you've made a perfect instrument. You're just so teeny tiny. So you're just now. I have to ask: do you get in order to get the most reach? You have to get directly under it and hold the broom and poker straight over your head.
Stop saying yes to this.
Yes.
No.
And there's also a little three-legged stool, and mm-hmm. you gotta be on top of that.
Grab a three-legged stool. You're balanced. You're on tippy toes.
Is it? Oh, if I'm still on tippy toes, then I gotta put books on top of. This stool.
You can re-roll the acrobatics. Yay. You do not want to get under a 10.
I got a 10.
Hey!
Exactly a 10.
Let's go.
In the perfect moment, so Ame, look, you hook into the latch with the bill of the poker just as your tippy toes kick the stool out from underneath you, and the books all topple, and now you are hanging from the broom, suspended in the hallway on the upper level.
Incredible.
Sort of wriggling in the air, you and inch by inch, the attic. The attic door slowly slides open, and you can grab the ladder and move up into the attic.
Yes!
Go ahead and give me an investigation check as you get up there looking for spider webs.
That's an 8.
Ooh.
And remember, everyone, we're children, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's very good for a baby.
That's very good. That's
remember that, Brennan.
It's incredible.
Brennan, remember, this is a child.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, it's a baby. The DCs remain the same, okay?
That can't be true.
This is a story really about how kids aren't good at stuff. you get up there. I'll say on an 8, you find plenty of dusty old cobwebs up here. You are looking for something a little bit fresher, a little bit more grand, like a sort of fresh living spider web. But a lot of the ones up here are sort of older cobwebs, dustier and not used. You see a small little circular window in the corner with a little bit of gray sunlight coming through. It's a circular window that has little cross beams in it. So sort of a vertical and a horizontal line, a little crossed circle, and it illuminates some larger shapes covered in heavy, dusty canvas, which it seems that there are these large, still shapes everywhere, hinting at structures underneath them.
Well, what are the structures? What do they look like?
Hard to say.
The only way to know for sure is to at least, you know, get a little closer, maybe poke at him. Yeah.
Ursula, I feel like a rule's about to be broken somewhere. Yeah. I feel faint.
I mean, there's no rule about exploring or anything. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to get closer and I'm going to look. Maybe just a little peek.
Do you want to peek under a canvas or do you want to poke the thing through the canvas?
Well, I'm going to poke it first.
Always a good call.
Oh, and I'm going to say, hello? And there's not a very good chance that somebody's going to answer. But the thing is if something is there, then they can answer. But if something's not there, no one has heard me say hello.
Some solid child logic.
This is good.
I love it. I love it. Go ahead. And you're just poking with your finger.
Hello? Poke.
Poke. Yes. Just go ahead and give me a straight luck roll.
Oh, 12.
You poke into one of the structures and you hear a little slide of something metallic, sort of like maybe multiple pieces of metal that all sort of shift and reshift their weight as you disrupt them.
I whip off the cloth.
Oh, God.
You whip off the cloth and a bathtub full of suits of armor. A bathtub full of suits of armor is unveiled with the canvas, and one of the suits of armor that it looks sort of like shiny copper with little silver inlay whips around and looks at you with nothing inside the helm. And you see on the other side, the metal is warped and destroyed as though many points of heavy force smashed through the helm who knows, something quite bad happened here. The helm whips around and you hear,
are you okay?
Oh my God.
Go ahead and give me a persuasion roll.
What a little witch.
14.
The clawed feet of the bathtub begin to shift, and a bathtub full of ruined armor and tons of swords, tons of axes, tons of in the basin of it, it's like a pool of daggers at the bottom. Like the smallest weapons fell through the cracks of the largest weapons and have made like a pool at the bottom of this this jacuzzi of ruined and rusting things. And the bathtub begins to walk a little bit, and the ruined helm goes, and as you ask, are you okay? It does not lunge forward at you. Give me an insight check. Ooh. I'm going to say two. Give me perception checks, Su V and Ursula.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
What'd you get?
Five.
Oh. I got a five as well.
I also got a five.
What?
You guys just hear a kind of metallic clang from up in the house.
I snap the ladybug out of Sue's hand and run away. not at all related to the middle, metallic clang.
So fives all around is where we'll stop this little chapter of this here. Ame, you look at the armor. It just sort of like hauntingly moans a couple times. And you ask what's wrong with it, but you see that it doesn't do anything menacing. The bathtub just kind of walks and bumps around for a little while as you look at this thing. And it's hard. You have like a limit to your own insight because you can't read a face. There's no face. It's just an empty helmet. And you hear after a minute, what are these books doing in the middle of the hall? What? Ame! And grandmother friend climbs up the staircase.
As I hear the steps coming up the staircase, I attempt to put the cloth over back over.
That's a sleight of hand check for sure.
This is not. Oh my God.
What's that?
18.
Oh my God.
Incredible. You perfectly timed it. It goes over the thing right as the bathtub gets in. And you guess the bathtub must function under some kind of rules like birds, like, where you put a thing over it and it can't.
It's nighttime.
It thinks it's nighttime. And you see, whoosh, it goes over there. And right as Grandmother Wren's head comes up over the thing, Ame! What are you doing up here in the attic? I heard clanging.
Gather cobwebs.
Getting cobwebs. What was the clanging I heard?
Really noisy spiders.
Give me an insight check.
Deception or?
No, this is
oh, insight.
Okay. Give me insight.
Oh, 8.
She looks at you and goes, really noisy.
Spiders.
I'd greatly appreciate it if all of the spiders in the attic would please keep it down. You too, Ame.
Huh?
And she turns around and says, who tied a poker to my broom?
It's a good knot.
It must have been Taro, the rooster.
Now give me a decision.
Dang. Bully line.
I rolled a 3 on the die. She looks at you and says, Taro did this.
Yeah, he's a troublemaker, he is.
It troubles me indeed that I don't know whether you're telling the truth or lying. I think it might be completely within his ability. And she takes the broom and the poker and says, come on downstairs. I saw Ursulon sprinting across the yard as fast as possible a moment ago. Is everything all right?
Oh, yeah. We're just making him a bed.
Oh, you mustn't make him a bed.
Oh, well, just like a little nest, you know? Right?
Yes, I think that's wise.
What defines a bed?
Well, I think probably for a bed, anything woven is not going to be acceptable for him. But of course, a soft place to sleep is all right. And it's possible you should ask young Ursulon whether he would feel most comfortable sleeping indoors or out of doors, or if he would feel most comfortable. I don't want him to get wet out in the rain, but.
Oh, I don't think the ladybugs would like that either.
But there are places that his spirit may feel more comfortable. There, a shrine or one of the sheds or somewhere that is maybe less less foreign to him. Or we could try to, you know, there are, do you know the word liminal, Ami? Go ask Suvi.
Oh, yeah, Suvi would know.
It's a possibility. There's a window in your room, and there's other places that might be comfortable for him if we could find some way to make a little resting place for him there.
Oh. Okay.
I am doing my best to slide tackle Ursula.
Just full, yeah. I'm at full run.
Yeah. Suvi, in a moment where she has forgotten to be nervous, is just fully devoted to play and has taken the ladybug stealing quite personally and is trying to launch herself at his feet to trip him up.
This is perfect. This is incredible. I love this. It's just straight athletics versus athletics.
Good. Yeah, that's
okay,
a good
great.
Thing.
I like this. I like this.
5. 13.
In no world.
Yeah, of course not. That was never the point.
give me an insight check, Ursuline.
That's a 6.
I think you would clock something as being wrong with Suvi.
Yes.
You let the indoor kid energy emanating from Suvi.
I think there's like a moment in which Ursuline like jumps out of the way relatively easily.
Yeah.
But he's getting what he wants. So I think there's like a, oh, like there's like a, like a, there's like a very, like a noise in excitement that then is kind of cut by a moment of Suvi doesn't, it looks so tired. And it's like, well, that's normally we would do this again. So I think he's just kind of looking at her, wondering if she's going to stop. Are you trying to, like lure me? I think it's just like kind of like like he's standing maybe 5 feet away on all fours, just kind of confused as to why you can't keep running.
Yeah. Suvi definitely, like went ass over, like she scorpioned.
Yes.
Diving for you. Like,
oh, God.
Those little lilac boots came and tapped her in the back. She gets up covered in mud. And yeah, that snapped something in her. Yeah. Like, you're on all fours. And I think you see that she's grinning and like spitting mud out of her mouth. And just can't, like, she's having an asthma attack.
Yes.
Does not care. And is going to sprint at you again.
The chase continued. I think I'll try and dodge again.
Yeah.
Go for it. Maybe give me another opposed roll.
We've got this. Come on.
I got a 16.
I rolled a 14. I did my best.
That's really good. Ursuline tears out. Once again, tears out ahead of you. This is where Ame comes in and joins you guys.
Butterfly.
So are the ladybugs quiet?
I think for the first time, Ursuline is gonna open his hand.
We're gonna roll a luck check. Ladybug's still alive.
Oh. Amazing.
Hello?
Little squeaking ladybug looks up at you. You, with your speech of beast, you can talk to all these things. Speaking to the little tiny insect folk, they are often, you find, not just very short of speech, but also very shy.
Mm.
Aww. It is all right. I would like you to join me in rest.
Give me a persuasion check.
That's a 7.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you speaking Imperial when you're communicating with the ladybug?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. I don't even think your speech of Beast and Leaf needs to be accompanied by sounds if you don't want it to be, right? Things that wouldn't communicate with speech don't need to be communicated to with speech.
Mm-hmm.
The ladybug crawls up your arm a little bit. It centers back down in the palm of your hand, and you can feel a little fluttering of its wings as it indicates.
I can try, but There is much food to be eaten, and many places to remain safe and hidden.
And go to them. I just blow it off of my head.
No! No!
You guys smell powerful pine and rosemary as Ursuline.
Why did you want to let go?
It did not want to rest with me.
Oh. Wait, did you? How do you know?
I asked.
You can talk to bugs?
Mm-hmm.
Was it nice to you?
Very.
Okay.
It was sweet, but it did not want to join me in the nest.
I couldn't find much in the way of cobwebs because I thought maybe cobwebs woven with intention might be good for a pillow. But Grandma Wren suggested maybe you might want to sleep in a shrine or outdoors or in a shed. But what do you think will make you the most comfortable?
Mm-hmm. I would like to be outside.
Oh, okay. Oh, she also mentioned a lime place.
Okay,
Lime place?
A lime place.
Like in a garden you want to leave?
I guess. Leave with fruit. Is that what she said you would know? It's a...
Oh, that must be like a big...
Lima, one. Lima...
Liminal?
Oh, yeah!
Yeah. Oh, God. You just see her immediately straighten up like, finally. No more body things. I can use my brain.
Yeah, liminal is like a... It's like a place between places. You know, kind of like special because it's not typical. It's kind of hidden, kind of different. Oh, you would probably like that.
Hmm. I would.
Maybe, I don't know.
It's hidden.
It would be safe, and maybe you wouldn't get rain on your body.
Oh my gosh, what if, because there's the little window in the room, in our room, and what if you, like, there's a sill there? What if we, like, kept the window open, and then you could be, like, half in, half out of it?
Yeah.
Can we go to there?
Yeah! Let's go.
Great.
You guys go to your room, and you do see there's a large farmhouse window. There's a little cottage window in your room. I'm sure strewn with little bits of volcanic glass and small plants and little vines and lucky rocks and things like that. Moving those to the side and opening the window up, you do see that there is a broad sill. It's too narrow for your body to sleep comfortably here, mm-hmm. but it's a surface that you could place something on, or if you wanted to have something here, you definitely could.
Can we make like a thing?
Yeah, let's make a thing. If this pleases you.
Oh, yeah. What do you want?
And where do you sleep?
Over there. And I point to just an absolute tangle of pillows and blankets and soft fuzz and feathers. And it truly looks like a chaotic nest.
Mm. And I would be here and you would be there.
Mm-hmm.
And you?
I'm kind of over here. I have a bed situation.
And I kind of point up to like a little bunk. It's very neat and ordered.
This feels good. Here.
Let's build something, okay?
Go ahead and give me a craft and like a carpentry.
Yes.
Okay.
Kids. I make a treehouse by baby-sized drafting table.
Ooh, okay. 8?
I got a 15. Can I add my brain to it?
You can add your brain to it.
16.
I think you pull out a drafting table and start actually drafting something. You watched your mom and dad, who you're kind of suddenly thinking about here in this moment. You watched them craft many things. The type of wizardry they did. Your mother was a carver and a smith. Your dad worked with wood and different carvings there. Like you, both of your parents had a lot of, there's a lot of making stuff involved in magic. And you start drafting something out. I think Ame, on an 8, you just like go to work and you're just
horrifying.
You turn around and pretty quickly there is just a piece of wood with a ton of nails in it.
Oh no.
And by the way, as she started like writing this out, like CV goes and in her like very well curated little top bunk pulls out her glasses that she's terrified of breaking and actually puts them back on to do all this. And it's just, oh, that's nothing. What you did is nothing, but it's so good.
I think, Ursulon, you've never seen glasses before.
I'm going to walk up to Sufi and I guess put my face in your face. Just like fully, like forehead to forehead, like looking through at your eyes through your glasses.
She hesitates because if you made any motion to raise your hand, this is a thing that she will be feral about protecting. Mm-hmm. It's not a quiet ladybug. But then when you lean in with your head, she will absolutely bump heads with you and just kind of blink at you. And you can see that like one eye is like, they're very different prescriptions. And you might be a little dizzy.
What are these?
They help me see good.
Would they help me see good?
Don't
or Ame?
Being dry. Oh. And I take them off, and you see her kind of hyperventilate a little bit, and then hand them.
Please be careful. Very gentle. Okay. Very gentle. I gently put them up to my face.
Your friend is blind.
It looks like, you know when you're underwater and you open up your eyes and it stings a little bit and your head hurts? That's what it's like. Well, maybe you try. Careful.
Ursulon is, like, going to hold them from one hand, but it wants to be gentle, but isn't good at it, so it isn't going to put two hands on it. He's just going to put one hand on it and kind of tilt his head to look through it sideways.
You cannot see without these.
Oh, really? Everything's kind of like, you know how like trees have like different leaves.
Of course.
I don't always notice that, but I think real good. I just need a little help.
A little help.
Yeah. Mm. Thank you.
On a 16, you draft a little platform that the window can still close, but when it opens, there'll be a sort of broader windowsill. Upon sort of getting that together and you draft it, you guys make it and craft this thing. You see that not that much longer after, you see Grandma Wren, as the sun is getting a little bit lower in the sky, coming in from the forest trail with a giant wheelbarrow full of moss and flowers and spider webs.
Jackpot. Do you think she's going to use those for other stuff, or can we have them?
Are they for me?
I don't, I mean,
Grandma Wren! Grandma Wren!
What's that, children?
What's the for?
What's this? We're running low.
Can we have some?
Like most of it?
Oh. Well, I was just going to put it in the barrel in the back, but oh, all right.
Oh, that's good, that's good.
So up on this little sill, just big piles of forest moss with some little flowers growing along them. And there's actually enough like earth and soil underneath to keep them kind of fresh and growing.
I would like to use my alchemy set and everything, my little nature alchemy, and I'm going to try and make it so that they stay nice and good and warm, and even when it's like rainy outside, it doesn't get too dewy, and it makes them feel safe.
Go ahead and give me a little alchemy check. You can do so with advantage.
Ooh, both 14s. Plus 16.
Let's go.
Awesome. You treat the little things here to keep them glowing and to keep the flowers smelling good. The flowers smell great. A couple little bumblebees come by into the flowers.
I screech at them to be quiet.
Shh. Be quiet.
It is all right.
And there's
bees make lots of noise.
And then there's there's little mushrooms that they can emit a soft, gentle glow at night if you want.
I do not like mushrooms anymore.
Oh, yes.
Ruslan, the first night you spent in the mortal world was a very scary night where you were very sick. This next night, you guys are sort of getting ready for bed again on this night together. It's a beautiful crescent moon outside with a lot of stars in the sky. And as the window opens, it's getting closer towards summer, so the night is actually quite lovely. It's not that cold at all. It's actually kind of nice to open. You might have opened the window anyway just to get a nice breeze coming in. And you have this soft little ledge that's high up on a wall facing the farmyard. Feels kind of safe, like you can see anything coming. And you look behind you, and it's almost like sleeping in a position of being a little watchman or a guard out of the edge of the room for your friend sleeping inside.
I think has similar thoughts and stays up just a little later. Like, make sure not to go to bed. Like, when everyone goes to bed, he makes it look like he's going to bed, but then stays up until he's sure Ame and Suvi have gone to sleep.
How do you orient yourself as you finally like get ready to tuck in for bed? Like, where do you put like your head and your butt and your feet in terms of this bed that splits the difference between inside and outside?
I think it's a lot of like pacing around at first, like very animalistic of like walking around, kicking dirt to make sure everything is oriented and just right. But I do think I sleep head out the window, but in the room.
Awesome. You see Ursulon's butt and tail kind of pointing at you as he...
But I think it's constantly you see the head come up over to look back into the room to check and see if they're asleep yet, and then go back down.
Amazing. Everyone, please pick something on your character sheet to update from this little... this little adventure here. Yes, go for it.
I'm going to take proficiency in athletics.
Ah, perfect. There you go.
How much stuff do we get to upgrade?
You can upgrade it. You can do features. You can do feats. You can do skills. You can do proficiencies. Whatever you want to do.
Go ahead.
I think I'm going to take proficiency in persuasion.
Love that.
Because for better or worse, that experience taught me I could get away with things.
it's like the skills and proficiencies of the class of a class, and then two more from our background.
Yeah, so I think the way we can think about this in terms of doing custom backgrounds, if that makes sense, is kind of like at the end of the day, because I think wizards, witches, and paladins are all two skill classes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so. So you're going to get four skills overall, and we can kind of custom the background. So you'll start out with proficiency in four skills. The humans will have five.
Yeah.
Let me just double check this. For your background, you can either get two proficiencies, a proficiency and a language, or two languages.
Great.
And so for our sake, what that will sort of mean is that and proficiency can be a tool proficiency, or it can be a...
Those two?
What's that?
For those two?
For those two, yeah. So four skills, two proficiencies / languages is what we're kind of looking at.
Great.
This makes no sense when I'm taking carpenter's tools proficiency.
I love it.
I made a plank one time. As a child.
That could now support a build, young fae.
Now I could build anything ever.
We're getting some work in on that baby draft table.
I made this draft table.
Oh.
I drafted this draft table and then I built it.
Incredible. So everyone feel free to take a skill or proficiency, and then maybe we'll roll an ability here as well. If you guys feel like doing one of those.
So this would be rolling either 1 or 2d6 for something.
Yeah, and actually, or you know, we can actually, we can hold off on that a little bit right now.
No, let's do
it. We're doing it.
Let's do it.
Yes, so this is rolling another one of your d6s, or if it's one of the, if it's, yeah, so it's rolling one of the other d6s, or it's rolling two for one of the ones that you have that you have two in.
I mean, for what the day has been, it feels like it needs to be strength or dexterity. I'm scared to do both. I'll determine. I'll do dexterity today. This we'll nail.
That's good.
I escaped you multiple times.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I say, you know, it's more. It was more.
So you're gonna roll 2d6. And we're going to see how dexterous you become later in life based on this chapter of your life.
Okay. And real quick, I just want to roll them just to see if they're cooking or if I need to check on them.
Yeah, this is test run. Come on, provolone.
Okay, they're doing okay.
Okay.
Come on, provolone. Okay. 2 to determine dex. Right now I have a 1 to fall back on.
Okay.
So your dex, if you didn't roll any of these dice, was going to be an 11.
It's going to be an 11.
You're going to roll 2 dice right now to determine if Ursulon stays dexterous in adulthood or if 11's where we call it.
Okay, first one is a 4.
Ooh.
Okay.
So it could be a 14 dex. Or, come on, a 6. I feel like I'm wishing. Okay. All right. Hey, we take it. I have a 16 dex as a paladin.
Let's go.
So now the question is this: do you want to throw that dex in now, or do you want to throw it in the parentheses to arrive there later?
Oh, definitely arrive there later. I think.
Okay. Cool.
But I think play and like that is important to Ursulon. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of chasing his friends. There's a lot of that kind of play in the pursuit and chase, and the dexterity is something he cares about.
I love that.
That's so good.
So replace the one with the 6 and then put a little check mark next to that one because you're done rolling for it.
Great.
Who else wants to roll for an
ability? You know score? I want to do my strength.
Let's do it.
We gotta find out.
What are you at right now?
I'm at an 8. I've got a 2 to fall back on, okay. So I could be real normal at strength.
Okay.
And you're rolling 2 dice, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Here we go.
All right. One at a time. Come on. First roll with this die. That's a 1.
Okay, all right. Tone has been set.
Come on. Let's let the dice tell a story.
And the story is...
The dice are telling a story for sure.
The story is I rolled 1 2 times.
There it is.
So I'm going to fall back on my little 2, and I don't even get that yet. Mm. We stay just so pale and tragic in the club. She's just so unathletic.
A wizard through and through.
That's what we call a dumb stat, folks. All right, put a check mark next to your strength. You are
done.
You have an 8. You will get 2 points stronger as a full-grown woman.
I'm about to be right now. Normal.
But what do you think that means for Suvi in her childhood with like Ursulon and Ame around? Is it just that Ursulon's so otherworldly dexterous?
He's 5'1" as a child. And Ame
born to be great.
Is a chaos demon. Yeah. Suvi has realized the importance of Elaine.
Yes.
I'm staying in it.
Hey, you're our rock, okay?
If you have a question, please come find me. I will be walking behind you.
Truly perfect. All right, Ame, what's up?
Okay, so I feel like I'm pretty good. I've got some really good fallback scores. I got a 5 in the bag for wisdom, and I got a 4 in the bag for my charisma. What we just went through, I say, would be, again, more wisdom and charisma based, but I feel like those are doing all right. So maybe in my acrobatics, climbing up into the attic, and my sleight of hand with throwing it on over there, I'm going to look at my dex score. So I have a fallback of 4,
which would
give me a total of 15.
We are absolutely stacked.
Yeah. These are good scores.
So those are really, that's always, that's already pretty good.
100%. And so, and your dex is one of the ones that you're rolling two dice for.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right.
Hey, but we also know what can happen.
Stop. Yeah. It will only be good for you.
Yay.
Ooh, same at the same time?
Yeah, five. So I get to bump that up a little bit.
How about it? So go ahead and replace that four in parentheses with a five, which will mean that Ame eventually has a dexterity of 16.
Let's go.
We are dexterous as hell.
Yeah, all of us together. Nah, I'm pretty dexterous. We're good.
What is your dex?
I'm at a 12 now, and I my fallback is a plus four, so.
We are sexy, I swear.
So
this, along with, I'm sure, many other instances as a child, has convinced me that it is very important to train myself for mischief and for getting things done in this way that I know how, because I am very frail in terms of strength. So I have to, instead of, you know, brute forcing it, I gotta find my way around.
Gotta be tricky, exactly.
Going
over the rest of the summer together, gang. What else unfolds? And I think specifically here now too, it would be good to start looking at the character sheet and really think about, like, especially if there are some things that you know, looking towards the future in adulthood, that you think your characters should probably have for that day in the future. But I think we can think about it right now as, what do you think over the course of the summer they would start to want to develop? And I think you can also look at some of those bigger ticket items too, if you're interested, like feats or like class features as well, or for our spellcasters, like other spells that you might be interested in learning.
Ooh. Well, meeting Ursulon and working with Suvi, and I see things differently now. I know the true nature of the forest, and I know what it means to be a witch. So I think that as much as you can ever sort of brute force something that is intuitive, I try to open myself up to that more. And I try my best to learn to be a witch, or at least to prepare myself to be ready for when that knowledge truly comes.
You try to prepare yourself for that future witchiness.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And you know, it's kind of the way that, you know, you try not to watch that pot that's boiling, you know, and you kind of catch it out of the corner of your eye, and you're like, it's all right. It's going to come when it's going to finish when it finishes. Oh! All right. This time. I thought I could catch it. All right. But it's okay. I will wait patiently.
Incredible. Mechanically, what do you think you are? So as you're like, you're waiting and preparing for that, is there something that it feels like you want to seize onto, or that you're like, that Ame is most hoping for?
Witch stuff. And honestly, I think it would be, because I don't know how long the three of us are going to be together. So I want to have things that'll help them, or so that I can make little mementos for them, you know, like you make little friendship bracelets or boondoggles, or what did you guys all call them? Boondoggles or lanyards.
Oh yeah, I call them lanyards.
You know, those kinds of special things, little tokens of a friendship.
Aww.
Little tokens of a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me see something here real quick.
Make little things that'll make them happy.
Ame. I think over the course of the summer, you start waiting for witchy stuff. For anyone else, is there any other stuff that you feel like is next on the horizon for
you? I think divine sense for Ursulon.
Ooh.
I think Ursulon starts, he doesn't want to make a big deal of it because he does like his life here, or his burgeoning life here. But I do think there's a part of him that every day goes to the forest and attempts, you know, thinks, maybe there is another way between if there was one door, there's maybe another. There's got to be something. Doesn't want to give up hope that there's not a way back. And so I think wanders around just attempting to sense home, like asking things about home, like just very intimately. And I think have mostly through his senses attempting to connect with something in the space that is connected to his, what he recognizes as being his fae, his home, his home in the fae realm, and trying to figure out where, if there is any sort of connection in the, if there is any connection in the forest remaining between this world that he has found himself and the one that he is from.
I love that. And for Suvi,
I think I'm leaning towards taking the observant feat.
Mm.
I think there's been a lot of her watching, especially while hidden, now that she understands that she is in some way a secret and still doesn't really understand and still functioning from that, like, I trust adults, but I've seen sort of the wiliness of my friends and I realize I need to start figuring out what's going on beyond my own little brain and our, like, little world.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Moving through these, I think at a different pace as we move sort of montage through the summer, I think there is a night that all of you spend in a shrine.
Mm.
I think there's a night that all of you spend in a shrine, and one by one, and I think this is later on towards the summer, and Ursulon, you have these two projects, which is like the project of your quest and mm-hmm. of Sir Curran, and then also the project of getting home.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of which seem possible in this world. I mean, we know you've made a very tragic character, but it's truly, it's like, oh, I was making a hard choice between two worlds and I get neither, none?
Yes, right now it's looking like nada.
Like nada. But your two friends, the two young girls, are going to try to help you find this thing. So there's a little shrine up on top of the hill. It's very simple. It has a raised stone roof that is stylized and old with beautiful pale green lichen on the sort of like domed scaly roof with a couple of thin columns and a stone floor that Ame has to sweep so many times a day because there's always some twigs and some acorns and some pine needles blowing up into this spot. But at the center of it, there is a beautiful old stone statue. And you recognize and immediately connect. And one of the first times your divine sense works is the celestial presence. You're, as a wild one, you know, as an honored friend, you don't demarcate a difference between fae, fiend, and celestial. Those are just all spirits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a human like explained it to you, you'd be like, oh, okay, so the ones that are a little bit more aggressive or hostile, you call those fiends, and the ones that are, you know, like, but you just recognize it as a kindred spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Although here on this side, you sort of recognize that the statue is not the spirit itself, but you yes. recognize it as an artifact that anchors the, and that night, your divine sense activates. You have your observant feat of like staying up that whole night. And Ame, I think you, for the first time, get the ability to craft witches' tokens.
Oh!
What
on earth are those?
It's a brand new game mechanic for the Witch class.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, brand new base 20 class. Shout out M. Veselak. And Brandis Stoddard, all the awesome people that worked on this. Tokens allow a witch to create a number of really small magical items that just perform, that allow the person that she gives it to to cast one of the spells that she knows. And she can have as many active tokens as she has a proficiency bonus. So, which in this case is two, which is enough for her pals.
Oh.
So, Ame and, but of course you only have one spell, but it's a useful spell for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Actually, on all three of you chose a like discovery thing, observant.
Yeah.
Because your spell is detect magic, Ame, it's two tokens of detect magic and then divine sense.
Look at that.
Amazing.
What do your characters remember from that night, like camping out in the shrine together?
The fireflies. They're here especially during the summer. And I showed everybody how to be still enough and so you can get them to land on you. And I was hoping that maybe you could tell me what they were saying.
Of course. I listen first to see if they are speaking.
And actually, I think this marks the first time that Ursulon has just simply tried to see what these creatures were already saying.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear all of them, and they are all deeply and romantically introducing themselves to one another. each of them courting the other. With a glad nod of recognition in this vast dance throughout the meadow towards the top of the hill and the shrine. See this beautiful courtly dance between the fireflies and can feel the subtle magic at work here as the token begins to cast its spell. And Ame, what was the object that you attached your first spells to as gifts for your friends?
Oh my goodness. I think it's okay for Ursulon to have human things. I think I'm gonna make little charm bracelets for everyone. We all have the same one, and mine doesn't have the spell in it, but it you know, it's just, you know, God. So that it's like ours.
Too sweet.
But yeah, and I give them to you, and they're in your favorite colors, which I have craftily contrived to learn from you without asking outright. and so, Suvi, yours is
lilac.
It's lilac, and it's got little patterns on it. So there's little tiny lilacs that are growing out of it, and you can almost smell them.
That's so sweet.
And I slip it on your wrist, and I say so you can remember our summer together.
Is snot nose crying behind her glasses.
Yeah. And Ursulon, yours is?
It's a deep forest green.
It's a deep forest green, and I fasten it onto your wrist, and you can see dangling on it little coniferous charms and ferns, and the little pieces of vine that twine around through it. It's almost like you can hear the rustling of the wind in those trees.
I think Ursulon puts it up to his ear and listens.
Oh.
Yeah, so in case you ever do find a way back, and you know you have to go do that, then that you can remember us.
Suvi's definitely going to, like, rush Ame once you give them both, and she's going to give you a big hug.
Oh!
And then there's not really a justification for it, but there is. There's just something, I feel like at some point, Ursulon, this is just, like, fully the moment I want to have. It happens for some reason. It's like a full, I think at some point Ursulon picks them up and dances with them. In the way of like the fireflies,
yes,
I think there is some there is some sweet moment of him holding both of them and spinning.
Yes.
On this night where all of you have made this like deep investment in seeing more of the world and in all very different ways of like Suvi's, which is very practical, very like, I'm just keeping my eyes open to observe. And that of the spirit, which is Ursulon's, and of course Ame's, which is to let her friends see more. And ending with this great dancing. I think you all have this marvelous memory of being on Ursulon's broad shoulders, dancing in the glade, having fully, you know, I think you were like waiting in the shrine to see if like a door opened. There's something about like, well, the shrine, maybe the moon, when the moon hits at a certain point, and at a certain point it becomes clear that that's not going to happen. So it's just time to dance with the fireflies.
Can I add one small bummer to this?
Yes.
I think at some point while we're dancing, Suvi drops and breaks her glasses.
Oh.
And I think that's the moment where she realizes that like all of this like investment in the group and the friends, and she is suddenly thrown back to remembering her parents and realizing it's the middle of the summer and she hasn't heard anything from Grandmother Wren or anyone else about her parents coming back. And this is the moment where she realizes maybe they're not coming back. And there's something just a little bit poisoned with that observant feet, that now it's like vigilant and it's worried.
There is a very different memory of that night in each of the three people, in each of the three kids that walks down from there. I'd like you all to roll for another ability score here.
Yeah.
Based on this memory.
Based on that memory.
Based on that memory.
Oh. I'm doing my intelligence. Let's go.
Let's go.
This is my last two die one. Let's lock it in. I'm at a 13 now with a one to fall back on. It's not good if I don't roll good. I'm going to be the worst wizard.
I know. Two dice. Let's see here.
Please dice, give here me a six. Okay, we have a five.
Cha-cha-cha. Yes.
All right, we're going to be okay. And then, come on. A four. All right, we'll take the five.
Cha-cha-cha.
Wow, so that brings you to 18,
It's
right?
an 18, yeah.
In what? In intelligence?
Yeah.
Woo!
And I think there's, like, I know it doesn't really make sense, but I want to give it to Suvi now.
Give it to Suvi now.
Yeah. I think it's not good. It's intellect as a guard.
Grandmother Wren's study is a very rich resource for getting lost in and for having this kind of toxic precociousness, I think. What are we rolling on here?
We're gonna not. I think there was a lot of, I think in the way, as you described, of course, like the listening. And then I think just in general, the more observant, moving from a more observant place. I think we're going to roll the one die to knock down wisdom.
Let's do it.
See where we're at. We have to beat a four, anything less than a four, and we just fall back on a four. Cha-cha-cha. That's a one. So it will be, we're going to fall back on the four for a 14 in wisdom.
Okay.
Hell yes.
It's still not bad.
That's great.
It's not.
Do you want Ursulon to get there in childhood or hold on to that four for adulthood? What do you think happens to him after that night dancing with the fireflies?
I think I'm going to get halfway. I think I'll take it to a 12 for now.
I love it.
Because I do think there is something in the sadness of Suvi, and if we're treating this as like a big kind of Suvi's taking a big step, I think there is something. I think also in starting to be quieter and listen more, that is realizing, and I think even looking at the charm bracelet he receives from Ame, and the idea that it is with the idea that we won't be together forever. I think there is a little bit more of realizing that other people are thinking about the future and where we go and where we've been and not just now. And maybe I need to do more of that. Maybe I need to work harder to think about what is next and where I've come from.
I want to do Ame's ability score, but also I have to ask, knowing that, I think Ursulon knows that something sad happened, but what do the two of you know of Suvi's parents? And I think, Abria, that's something that I need to know from you is how much, because I don't think Grandmother Wren would have said anything if Suvi didn't say anything.
Man, I hate picking like bummer things, but I think Suvi says nothing
about them. I don't think Ursulon has ever asked. I think there's only the change that now Suvi's running less and reading more, and that the bracelets are meant to be so that we remember each other if we go away. Mm-hmm. That's the change. But I don't, I really don't think we've ever talked about it.
Yeah.
We're going to roll your ability score in a second, but give me an insight versus Suvi's deception.
And you know I'm so good at this. I'm a sneaky little baby.
You have to beat a 4.
11.
I think Ursulon, you just feel like, oh, there's sadness coming from Suvi. And I think, Ame, you do a little bit of a better job when those glasses break. I think you just know that a kid can't make glasses and that all of it means something from Suvi's life before. You know where you come from. You know your story and how you came to live with Grandmother Wren. And I think it probably means something to you. I think you become aware that night that Suvi has never talked about why she's here. And you were smart enough to figure out that she was being hidden. And I think, Ame, on that night, you just become aware of like, Suvi is a girl who's being hidden in Grandmother Wren's house who never talks about why she's here.
I don't want to pry, and I think that would make Suvi clam up even more. But I think that I am in tune enough with others to know how to make myself available as a listener and a confidant if you need, but of course there's no pressure. But it's just little things, you know, like open-ended invitations to gently ask about your family or your life, but never very straightforward or demanding of an answer.
I think Suvi is younger than you and not very clever about those things. She will not answer, but never meanly. She'll just do her best to change the subject and say that she's okay. But you definitely see that, like, every night before you, like, we all kind of go to bed, she will be doing her best, like, tapping her fingers, trying to remember the mending spell her mom did on her glasses and never quite getting it right.
Let's roll for that wisdom. Or sorry, whatever your ability score you want to roll for.
I feel like it would be wisdom. I have a 5 to fall back on, but let's see.
Get that 6, baby.
Do you have 2 to go or just 1 to go?
I think the ones that I have 1 are just the con and the
intelligence. Cool. Yeah. Let's go for it. 2 to go. Let's see if we get the 6.
Come on, 6. Let's go.
Come on.
Please. No.
Are you
five's
sure?
Good. 5's good.
5 is fine.
But what if you lie? Roll of deception against Brennan.
So what? So that means that your wisdom will go to 18 too, right?
It will be.
Or adding 5 to.
It'll be 17.
17. Cool. Oh yeah.
Wait. So your wisdom 17?
Yes.
Hot dog.
Also, with the observant feet, Suvi is sitting at a 19 as a 6-year-old.
A 19. Oh, no.
For intelligence.
Oh, can observant add to intelligence?
Yeah, it's a +1 to either. She doesn't have that right now. Yeah. It's just.
Incredible. Okay.
This girl reads.
She reads and is sad.
I think it's not all the way there, I'm not at my full wisdom because, you know, still wisdom comes with time and experience. And I'm still so young that I don't have a lot of those, but I think it does increase because seeing Suvi's sadness and seeing Ursulon, who I realize didn't have a concept of the future or planning or anything other than the now. And I kind of messed up by reminding him of that. And so this is going to be a very precious memory to me, but also a learning experience of the things that I cannot fix. I'll bump it to, let's say, a 14.
So how many ability scores? Everyone has two fully done now, right?
Two. Oh, yeah. That's right. Let me throw a check next to that.
Yeah, throw a check.
Smort.
Throw a check next to the ones you have done. Check. And I also want to say here, too, that I leave it to all of you to determine class features and abilities that you think don't make sense to enter in childhood. Like, it would totally make sense if you're like, no, I should learn most of my spells as an adult.
Yeah.
Right? That totally makes sense. So anytime that you want to call it, and I think once we're finished with the ability scores, we can call it there, okay, essentially, okay, right?
Yeah,
great.
But any other proficiencies and things like that?
Oh, go ahead.
I'll go for it. Yeah, yeah. No, what are you
gonna say? Oh no, I'm gonna. I think at some point during
the summer,
yeah, during the summer, I do think when Ursulon doesn't think Grandma Wren is watching, I think he's going to have stashed. He's going to have stashed away a stick that looks like that's close enough to a sword, and a large piece of bark that looks enough like a shield, and is just I don't know. I think it's probably a day when Grandmother Wren goes to town, or he just thinks she won't be here to say no, but he also doesn't tell Ame or Suvi because he doesn't want anyone. I do think in the way that he now has shame, I think there's a little part of him that feels stupid about still wanting to be a knight or still wanting this thing that is gone to be his. But I do think he's going to take the stick that he keeps in the forest and the piece of bark that he keeps in the forest, the sword and shield he keeps in the forest, and do battle with Nicholas.
Whole sparring part.
That is incredible.
He just says, come at me. And then I think just doesn't really know how a sword and shield work. So I think often spends time like trying to hit him with the shield and like keep him away with the stick. I think starts trying to battle Nicholas anytime Grandma Wren leaves for as much time as he thinks before Suvi and Ame start calling for him, and then he goes, hides the weapons.
I'll say that there's a couple of days as you get into the true like height of like, you know, sort of that period of time in our world, which is like June going into July, and you're like, ooh, or actually right around the summer solstice, Grandmother Wren leaves for about a week. Grandma Wren leaves for about a week. And has a big long speech about it. It's like, I need to be gone during the solstice. However, you have adults to come in and check in on you. Although Suvi, at this point in the summer, she actually looks and says, I'm going to ask you to perform a chore for me, which is to go out and collect certain flowers. I know that you've been taking your nature craft very seriously. Across the stream, you must collect them at sunrise every morning.
Okay. Because you're hiding me.
What's that?
Never mind.
She looks at you. Make that. Calling it an accusation is too harsh. It's just the truth. He says, we'll talk more when I return. And she squeezes your hand and smiles and says, I'm glad that you are here and that I can keep you safe as well as I can. I'm sad that you have to know that, but I shouldn't be surprised. I'm very clever. I should have told you sooner.
It's okay.
She says, the flowers are useful if you want to collect them, but you don't need to. I just need you to stay hidden during the mornings. And having been caught in a kind of trick of like, oh, just a way to get you not to be in the house at that time of day, during that week that she is gone, and you see her, Ame, she asks you to collect a lot of things for her, like tinctures, different charms. She even goes up into the attic and you kind of hear a clanging around from the old bathtub up there. And you, when she goes, she and Taro both go. And she tells you before she leaves, leave the door to Nicholas's pen unlatched. Every morning, very soon after sunrise, walking up the road from the village of Toma, you'll see the big baker man, Lohan.
Lohan!
Lohan the baker!
Lohan!
One good note.
Big guy, thick eyebrows. He's got the baker's apron on, and sometimes he'll have a... You got this big old basket, and he leaves a bunch of food and like fresh water and other things, and he just leaves it on the step of the cottage every morning. And during the time that Grandmother Wren is away, one of the mornings that you are like, we have your like bark and sort of thing there, you see Lohan looks over and says, "Hey there, youngster." And I have to ask you, hearing him approach, do you keep your form or not?
Oh, is this the first time this has happened?
I think so. I actually think this would slip past Grandmother Wren. I think Grandmother Wren would have her mind on Suvi, mm-hmm. and I don't think she would have given you the instructions of like how to be around like someone who is a friend from the village, but nevertheless not a witch.
And I know of Lohan or know about Lohan. But they've
you've eaten enough pastries at this point. You know of Lohan's work. Yeah.
Yes, I know of Lohan's. I know of Lohan's delicious work. But okay, and then with that, the question is whether or not I'm using the glamour.
Yeah, would you appear to him as like a young human boy, or would you appear to him in your true form?
Lohan. Good old Lohan. That's a good question. I might roll I honestly might just roll the dice.
Ooh.
I think because there's part of me that goes like, you know, that Ursulon would just straight up be nervous / scared mm-hmm. and want to be safe. But there's also a part of me that thinks that this man makes such good pastries. And he gives them to me, and he gives them to us. Why should I be afraid and hide? Mm-hmm. Well, let's find out what kind of day it is. We'll go sub 10, or sub 11?
Yeah, sub 11, yeah.
Sub 11, I'm hiding, and above 10, he gets to see the real me. That's a 4. So the glamour is up.
Okay, so... So on that day that you're doing that, on the day that this is like the first day that Grandmother Wren is gone, what do you think Suvi's up to that day, having had that interaction with Grandmother Wren? And then Ame, what do you think you're doing, given that Grandmother Wren's going to be gone for a little while?
Suvi would absolutely like grab a book that she's working on, belt it, like kind of throw it over her shoulder and walk into the woods, but stay in sight of the road.
Mm-hmm.
As she works on her observant feet. So if she can see a creature's lips, she can read them.
Hell yeah.
So she wants to know what she's missing from the adults that aren't allowed to see her.
Give me a stealth check. Because if you can see that, you know, it's like ostrich rules, right?
Yeah,
sort of like, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, we all know ostrich rules.
Okay. That's a 12 plus.
I love Taylor's laugh.
Of course.
It's the most rewarding thing.
We all know ostrich rules.
13.
13. Okay, cool.
When are you going to tell us what ostrich rules are?
I don't know, man. I was just thinking about ostriches putting their heads in the sand.
Wait, so this isn't even like what? It's not even... Okay, now we're... No, I'm so sorry. We have to pause. What are ostrich rules?
I don't have it, man.
You said this like... It was like, man, everyone in upstate New York goes... Ostrich rules. We're playing nice. I go see. You got to think about ostrich rules. Now I'm real. But what are ostrich rules?
Abria was like, I want to be able to see the road, but I don't want to be seen. And then I went, you know, ostriches put their heads in the sand, which they don't. They don't do that.
According to cartoons, they do.
Wait, don't they do?
No, they don't put their. No one puts their heads in the sand.
Hey, Erica. No, bring this over to me. Every time we play a game, I hope that this is the game where I'll learn a fucking bird fact against my will. And again, I was denied. I now know a thing that ostriches don't do, and that counts.
That counts.
But this is going to be a very long, ongoing campaign. You thought you'd get out of
I did.
Years of this bird fact free?
Yes.
I also do think ostrich rules is something I'm going to start saying all the time on this.
Ostrich
rules. But exclusively on this podcast. Like, right, you find me in life, I'll never say it. But here, I'm like, well, that's ostrich rules.
That's ostrich rules, man.
Anyway,
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you, man. That's ostrich rules. Anyway, I'm sorry. You were telling a beautiful story.
Okay. So you're looking from the road, and then what is Ame doing on this day that Grandmother Wren is sort of headed out?
Okay. I'm going to get all the chores done at once.
So you're going to, like, feed Nicholas for a week?
Yes.
Yes.
He'll figure it out. He's a smart goat.
Ame is perfect.
Get all the chores done for a week. Truly perfect. 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 Amazing. In that moment with you, you're getting your chores done for the week. You're off reading. Lohan looks at you, and who does he see in the yard?
Oh, I mean, I definitely think it's... I don't think I look exactly like Sir Curran, because that would be crazy. Just like a little 5 foot one grown man.
Tiny knight.
Hello. armor and everything. But I do think it's something, like, I think I have his hair. I think I have what I think would be like a child's. I think my glamour probably looks like I'm Suvi's brother. I think I look like I, because I think Suvi is the child I would know who seems to be, I think I would try and look like Suvi. So I think I look like Suvi's brother, but with Sir Curran's hair. I think I just have exactly what hair he would have.
Does anyone remember what we described Sir Curran's hair as looking like?
No idea.
But I said it was just Brennan, so.
Yeah, we really kind of thought that this was the most Brennan-like character.
Most Brennan-like character?
Yeah.
That's very sweet. You appear as sort of like Suvi's brother here with sort of like a little... tabard and, you know, sort of like, or like, honestly, like just like a peasant's jerkin and some breeches and stuff, looking like a kid who'd be playing out in the yard of a cottage. And you see Lohan looks and says,
"Oh, there, stranger. I didn't know that Grandmother Red had a young lad helping out around the farm. Care to give me a hand with the door?"
Yes.
He looks and says, "There's playing at night, huh?" He points at your
No, I throw the things down. I am not.
Phoebe.
It was I was the goat is a bad goat. The door. I walk over to the door, throw it open.
You open the door, and Lohan comes in, he sort of like, as the door opens, he like places it over on the place where he normally places the food. And you see he turns around and says,
"You don't have to be shy to me. It's a wonderful thing to do, play outdoors and spar with swords. You know, when I was a younger man, back when the militia was still active, I trained with swords. If you ever want someone to show you a thing or two."
I do think this is a moment where, like, Ursulon's, like, he does lack composure, I think, and so he's going to rush and grab Lohan. I think I'm, like, shaking him.
A thing or two. We just drilled for a few weeks. It's just for you know, back during the bad times. But yeah, absolutely.
And you will teach me.
I'd be delighted to. What's your name, friend? I'm Lohan.
I'm Ursulon.
Ursulon. It's a pleasure to meet you, young fellow. Yes, yes. Why don't you grab your... Well, here, you know, that the stick you found, it's got some moss on it. Probably is not going to be that strong. Here, you see that he sort of, like, looks around the outside of the shed and finds a couple of, like, short... like not full length brooms, but like some shorter, like almost like fireplace or like chimney brooms. And he unscrews the little broom handles and tosses one to you.
I think Ursula catches it and it feels too good. It's like a, I think some, there's like a rush that goes through his body. And then I think there's a moment of him realizing he has done this shamefully and quietly and with a goat. And in this moment, like, where another human being is looking at him and taking this dream of his seriously. It's, I, you know, it's that moment when someone, like, treats a kid like an adult. Like, there's something about this want being held legitimately by this baker that Ursulon is actually having, like, is, like, nervous or scared that he will be bad or that this, but that, and that Lohan will tell him that he can't do this and that this has, so I think there's as much excitement as there is fear in this moment of actually being given a chance to do the thing he cares about.
I love that. Lohan looks at you and sort of sees the nerves. And you see, he goes, "It's all right. Fighting with a sword. This is same as baking, same as anything. It only seems hard because you're far away. When you get close, you realize it's always just a simple start. So, simple start. Sword at your side. Draw the sword. Sword at your side. Draw the sword." And just starts running you from really simple stuff. And it's very clear, I think, that, like, Lohan does not have the bearing of Sir Curran. He is a villager. He was, like, he referred to being, like, in a militia for some bad times. He had, like, a very small amount of training.
Salt of the earth.
But he's encouraging. And he's, like, so I think that's wonderful. And I think, Suvi, you watch all this unfold. And what do you, so you look like Suvi's brother. What do you look when you see like Ursulon take this form?
I fall out of the tree. He suddenly looks like a person, and then he shakes the baker violently.
I'm shaking the baker.
Shaking baker.
I love it. So you see this boy looks like family to you with a shock of, I guess, bright red hair and a sort of like peasant's jerkin. Who shakes the baker and then just starts fighting with broom handles after he helps the guy open the door and get like breakfast inside. And Ame, you watch all this with a giant just mountain of feed next to Nicholas. Let's go ahead and pick any class features that we want from this memory.
So that's I'll take proficiency with swords and shields.
Hell that's yeah. So good.
Lohan right. The baker. Shaking baker. Okay, here we go. I'm gonna go. We're gonna roll strength. Right now we're sitting at a 15.
Hell yeah!
If with a 3, but we're praying for a big 6.
Praying for a big 6. Here we go. Here we go. Let's take a look.
Here it is. Number 1. That's a 3.
Okay.
Matches. Oh God. Come on.
Here we go.
I want to be strong.
Here we go.
Oh, it's going to be a 15. I rolled a 2. So it's 3 is the max. It'll be a 15 strength, which I will take now.
There you go.
Let's go.
I think Ursulon begins to, anything that he learns from Lohan the Baker, he then wakes up every morning and does nonstop until everyone else wakes up. And I think he also practices a little bit before he goes to bed.
I love that so much. You get your proficiency with swords and shields. you start training with Lohan that week. And I think it's also an element, too, of the fact that Lohan is like your first thing to the outside world. And you realize in talking to Lohan how big this world of mortals gets. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about like fights and things that happened and his history and like when he was young and things like that. And it just begins to unfold this thing of like, oh, this world gets much bigger than just here at the cottage. Mm-hmm. For Suvi, what are you looking at?
Weird. Okay. Is it weird for me to say I don't want to take anything else? I think
until adulthood, yeah.
Yeah. Go I think it. She's just getting smart. Like,
let's just roll another ability.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Let's just go down the list. Yeah, she just fell out of a tree. Let's wrap up Dex.
I love it. Great.
I only have one more die in that. With a 4 to fall back on. A 5.
Hell yeah.
17 in Dex? That's the last time she falls out of a tree.
Incredible.
There it is.
Love it.
But I won't take it yet.
Give it a little check mark. And then Ame. Is there any other proficiency you feel like taking, or is that good for you?
I have to look things over. I did not plan this well enough. But I think that during all of this, that I probably learn a new spell.
Mm-hmm. I love
something.
This.
Yeah, I was trying to find the spell list.
Oh, I have a spell list here.
Oh, perfect.
It's Absorb Elements, Animal Friendship, Alarm, Bane, Bless, Cause Fear, Ceremony, Command, Cure Wounds, Detect Magic, Disguise Self, Dissonant Whispers, Find Familiar, Fog Cloud, Heroism, Hideous Laughter, Pleasure from Evil and Good, Ray of Sickness, Shield, Silent Image, Sleep, Speak with Animals, Tasha's Caustic Brew.
Oh, it wouldn't be anything aggressive, and I don't know, I feel like maybe, oh, well, I feel like during this time, I've learned a little bit from Ursulon, and I've been waiting and watching, you know, for my witch abilities, and, you know, maybe during this time, Nicholas and I are starting to get on a little bit more.
I think on that day where you see in that summer where Ursulon is training with Lohan, you have a moment of pouring all that feed out and seeing this mountain of feed. Nicholas turns and says, "Thank you."
"You're welcome."
"You understand?
Do you understand me?
Do you understand me?
Oh, yeah."
"Yeah. You've always been a little thick. You never really understood me before."
"Well, you've always been a little mean to me."
"Well, I'm grouchy." He takes
He's
off.
"He's a perfect boy."
"You can stick around. Thanks for all the extra food."
"You're welcome." "Meh, yourself." An uneasy alliance has been formed. A detente and aggressions. And I leave his gate unlatched.
Incredible. And you get speak with animals.
Yay! That's so dope.
I love
what
it.
A cute way.
What a cute way.
What a cute way.
That was Lou Wilson as Ursulon, Erica Ishii as Ame, Abria Iyengar as Suvi, and Brennan Lee Mulligan as everything and everyone else. We hope you're enjoying the children's adventure because none of this would be possible without you. If you are liking it, make sure to tell your friends about it. And from all of us, thank you. These episodes were edited and designed by Casey Tony and scored by Casey Tony and Taylor Moore. He sounds nice.